The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Chivago Line is brought to you by Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Ron's Electric Motors, Southwest Plaza, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, and Wendy's.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. Glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday. Is it Wednesday? afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, I'm going to tell you all in a little while why I stalled a minute ago about the day. If you want to give us a call today, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on cable Bahamas channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So here's why I got stuck thinking whether it was Wednesday or Thursday. I want to read something for you. Afghanistan, Albania, Algeria, Antigua and Barbuda, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Bahamas, Bangladesh, Barbados, Belarus, Belize, Bhutan, Bosnia, Brazil, Burma, Cambodia, Iran, Cape Verde, Colombia, Cote d'Ivoire, Cuba, Democratic Republic of the Congo, Dominica, Egypt, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Fiji, Gambia, Georgia, Ghana, Grenada, Guatemala, Guinea, Haiti, Iran, Iraq, Jamaica, Jordan, Pakistan, Kosovo, Kuwait, Kyrgyzstan, Laos, Lebanon, Liberia, Libya, Macedonia, Mongolia, Montenegro, Morocco, Nepal, Nicaragua, Nigeria, Pakistan, Republic of the Congo, Russia, Rwanda, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Lucia, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Senegal, Sierra Leone, Somalia, South Sudan, Sudan, Syria, Tanzania, Thailand, Togo, Tunisia, Uganda, Uzbekistan, and Yemen. Those are the names of countries that I was sent some information reportedly on FoxNews.com. Say the U.S. freezes all processing for 75 countries. So those are the countries purportedly freezes the processing for, and includes the Bahamas. Now, I don't know if that's true. I'm trying to follow up to see. Wow, if that's true. Again, don't forget, you can travel to the United States of America without a visa. You can do so on a police record. Because some kind of inconvenience, if you are going from go from a third party, meaning if you went to Jamaica from Nassau and you are trying to go through the United States to get back, and if you don't have a visa, that won't be possible. But if you go Nassau, Bahamas on a police record, you can do that, right? Let me tell you something. I don't know if this is true, but what a world we're living in. Elections bring changes. Elections bring change, bad and ugly, convenient and inconvenient sometimes. And we are seeing that up front. We are seeing that up front. Some people say, Mr. Trump is doing exactly what he said he'd do. That's true. That's why I tell you before, when politicians tell you what they're going to do, some of them believe that. And for some of these politicians, when you get power, use it. Use it. Hopefully. But use it. Don't get out of power and then talk about what you should have, cut it down, what have done. Use it. But some people, whether they are character or not character or meaning, well-meaning or not, if they have the power, they'll use it. If you have the power and you believe you're doing good, use the power. Stop fooling around. Mess, tinkering around the edges. I don't know if that's true. I have a number of things to talk about today. That just came to me, and I'm sure you would have had an interest in it. If I find out anything else about whether that is bona fide or not, I will let you know. But I mean, it says Facebook, FoxNews.com, and it's got a photo of Mr. Rubio. Why the freezing? I do not know. I don't know, but there you go. There you go. We sometimes, some of us are very, disengaged, and we say, oh, what's happening over there don't matter to us. What's happening over there don't matter to us. Does it matter now? Does it matter now? Yes, it matters. And it always mattered. It always mattered. I don't know about, we hear if the U.S. catches a cold, sneezes, we catch a cold. Yeah, that's true in some instances. It's not true in some instances, but it's true that there is a massive influence that the States of America can have on the affairs of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And if you look at that list of countries, again, I don't know this to be true, but if you look at that list of countries, you know who's not on that list? Trinidad and Tobago. Trinidad and Tobago is not on that list. Who else is on that list? Let me see. In the Caribbean, let me see who else is not on that list. You know Barbados is on that list. Hmm? Is St. Lucia on the list? St. Lucia is not on the list. Is Grenada on the list? Grenada is on the list. Trinidad and Tobago is not on the list. Anybody want to wonder why? Trinidad and Tobago is not on the list. Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, so that's the first thing. Second thing is, someone sent me a recording of an event at a school. I'm told that this is Gavantine's primary school. And there's a group of students on a stage. and they are singing something. Now, I'm going to try, see. Well, producer, let me do this. Let me send it to you, and then you, I hope you can play it, producer. And then I will comment afterwards. But so I just sent it to the producer. Producer, if you could play that for me, let these folks hear what I hear. Let's see. This is at I'm told this is Gavantine's primary school. I'm told. In any event, it is a public primary school, I'm told. What the context of this is unbeknown to me, even though I'm told it was a majority rule, event. Producer, you got it? Let me know, please. You got it? Got it? Got it? Okay, yeah. Let's play it. Let's play it. Okay. Hey, you all got it? There's a group of students in a uniform on stage at this event singing, "The PLP is coming. They scared. They scared. The PLP is coming. They scared. They scared." Now, I would love to hear the explanation that provides appropriate context for that. I would love a principal, I'd love a teacher, I'd love the Minister of Education, anyone. I'm asking, I'm being dead serious, to provide a context for that. I want to imagine was singing, "The FNM is coming, they scared, they scared. The COI is coming, they scared, scared." And then Gibbs says that's an appropriate thing for school children to be singing at a school event in their full uniform in a public school. Unless they were acting, like this was some drama in which they were playing a political party or so. I don't think that is the case at all. But I'd love to know, and I would love to hear a good explanation for that in an election season, in an impending election season. I'd love to hear the context, an appropriate context for that. Says, "Shavao, Happy New Year, my brother. I trust that you are well regarding the school children singing the PLP school song. I will send you in the..." Okay, says this text says, "Let me be clear. In my view, it is indeed a good thing and commendable thing for our school children to celebrate, commemorate, be educated and familiarized about majority rule. However, what disturbs me greatly and deeply is the students appear to be engaged in a completely and totally political exercise when just on Monday, August, the National Church Service at Bahamas Harvest Church, which many of us attend, including..." "Our deputy leader and senator leader, the ratified candidates, made it emphatically and unmistakably clear that majority rule was not a PLP or FNM. It was and is an event for all Bahamians of every hue and socioeconomic background. The speakers went further, stating, when we politicized the event, immeasurable harm to the very achievement. What makes it worse is that the above having been shared on Monday, and given that our children's general elections are over short away, we are in highly politicized environment atmosphere. This use of demonstration by our school children is clearly and undoubtedly, unquestionably out of order and should not have happened and does not help us as a people in the spirit of majority rule, which is so ironic. This was Michael A. Folks making that statement. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Z Live.
Go ahead, caller.
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm Shuago. You know, when I listen to those kids on that, you know, because I got it on my phone also, right, singing that PLP chant at a school, right, and I mean it was mind boggling, right? But see, what it brought me back to is, you know, during the by election recently, right? I saw a bus. A school bus, one of those big bus, and the kids in the bus was chanting out of the windows that same situation. I was trying to figure if these school children boggled then. But then to hear this actually taking place on the premises of the school, but Shuago, please see if you could help us to understand how this goes. So thank you very much.
And thanks for calling. Let's think. The students were organized on a stage to sing this. They had someone, a teacher, I assume, organizing. So idea. This was developed and orchestrated by adults at the school. And my question is, I'm not touching anybody. Someone give me appropriate context for there may be one. We have a call on the line. Go ahead. Listening.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How are you doing?
Go ahead, Bobby.
Happy New Year.
Hi, man. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Surprising, sir. This is the first time I've heard this one, but it's quite shocking. However, void of the context, because, you know, you're asking for it, so it means that you haven't gotten a clear understanding yet. But void of that, in the space where it gives us the opportunity to if only share our opinion. If I'm not mistaken, within the public service, if this was in a government school, within the public service, there's a certain aspect to your the general orders that speaks to political involvement and activity within their workspace. I am thinking then that there should be some parameters set as it relates to our children. If the consideration for policy was given for adults to govern them and their behaviors, I'm thinking when it comes to our little children and our darlings, that there should be some protocol followed as it relates to politics. However, beyond that, I would like to say this. For far too long in our country, we've allowed this behavior where, in particular, majority rule day to be taken as a PLP holiday. Hence why I believe, void of an explanation, Mr. Lang, I believe that this kind of behavior happened. And so I think the time has come where, as a country, we start to take serious the implications of our actions, whether they be politically or any other social behavior, especially when involving our little darling. Thank you very much, Mr. Lang.
Yeah, appreciate your calling. Am I having volume issues, producer? Someone is saying, so I didn't hear anyone say so, but am I cutting in out? Make me think just a little bit. Oh, Lord of mercy. I don't know, bro. I don't. All right, well, let's see. Let's see if we can make it. I'm not in. I can't do anything other than what I'm doing now, but... I don't know that we find a context for it, but I'm happy to hear one. There, someone says, no, not online. Yeah, you see, this is what I keep telling people. Sometimes it depends on where it's on my end. So I'm sorry, but that sometimes it's the way it is, right? Hold on. This text says, I was made to understand that it was a reenactment of historical events, and that these chants were also a part of the whole affair. So it is only a snippet of a play. That's what I said, right? In any event, I think a broader picture of the event may bring more clarity and context. I'm saying I could only see it in the context of a play in which they were enacting something. But why would FNM and PLPism factor in a majority rule consideration? Because in a majority rule context, it couldn't have been you singing the PLP is coming, they scared. That could have nothing, even you were saying FNM all the, that could have nothing to do with the majority rule situation. Nothing, not that shit. Not that chant, not any FNM chant, not any PLP chant could feature. How could that be? What, if majority rule reenactment? You tell me where in the ever-counted history of the majority rule events of the Bahamas has any, the PLP is coming, they scared ever featured, or the FNM, or some of the fire, keep the fire burning. Where you ever see that? Majority rule happened in PLP. Majority rule was about the black majority of Bahamians seeking to be fully represented and fully in charge of a country when they were the majority back in the country, as opposed to the white minority in the country. So if they were singing, they white, they black, maybe you could get me there. But then, PLP is coming, they scared. Who wrote that skit? That don't sell. I can't buy it. And as someone is saying, the FNM did not exist in 67, so what chant would they have been using? With respect to the FNM. Then the PLP vested, majority rule, Elizabeth Field, number one, that side. Say, in fact, the dissident who essentially formed the FNM were elected as PLP MPs. That's what I just said. They were on the PLP side. This text says, U.S. suspending immigrant processing from 75 countries over public assistance. It does not apply to tourists and student visas. Okay. Over public assistance. Anyway, let me get more context. It'd be great to know. So apparently it doesn't apply to the tourists and student visas. Thank the Lord for so many people who will be needing. The Fox is the only one that seems to have this list, but yes. Yeah. Anyway, we know that, we have to be vigilant and we have to pay attention and be observant and see what may be or may be not happening on the international scene. It says, like the callers are clear, but you a little bit. The callers are clear. Yeah, but the producer said, okay. Someone said, listening online is okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Say, lying in a sense, yeah, the little children campaigning for the PLP, sad. As we don't have detail, might not impact tourist visas. Yes, yeah. So let's see. Okay, let's see what happens. But we know something is happening. Maybe. So we'll be paying attention and see if we can find more information for you. Says, good afternoon, Zhivago. You know what is so sad? That immature grown folks condone that video. The video was shared in a WhatsApp group this morning, and yes. It was, even the children could see what grown black people feel to see. Listen, we can take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Sea Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this.
Has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashi Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, Air, the Athlete's Foot, and BTC Games and More, John Bullfine Threads, Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks, and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan. At rates as low as 7.5%, a margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 3256. You can also call us on the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I have a text here. Good day, Shivago. Your mic is clear. All right. Thank you. We can carry on. I await context, context about a play and it having some historical value. It cannot be sold to me. It would defy the realities of the historicity of the majority rule event. But I already told you guys, this is a political season. It's going to get worse, and that's why we need to get this election behind us so we can get settled and move on, because this and other things are going to happen. Our governance is going to be directed by political considerations. Okay, yesterday when we talked about the Prime Minister's speech, I did not give many views on the speech myself, even though some one particular texter suggested so, inaccurately and lyingly so. But let's be clear. The Prime Minister's national address, set in the backdrop of an impending election, was his politicking, right? And that's not to criticize him. I told you all what's going to happen there. FNM is going to... Everything is going to be set in the context of politics, the elections coming up, the PLP seems. We're in a political campaign season. The Prime Minister made his speech listing out his accomplishments and his achievements. Why would he do that at this point? Because he needs you to know what he has done for you. That's what he needs you to know. He says he's going to tackle the affordability crisis. And he provides you with a 0% VAT on food items. Inflation has begun to come down. When the prime minister addressed a year ago the VAT issue, the cost of living was as heavy a consideration as it is now. Zero VAT would have been wonderful then too. But and so the stakes are being ratcheted up. And he wishes to do as much as he can do to support and assist because he knows that it is useful and helpful. That's what he would believe, and so would any other administration, in gaining public support, right? If this were a governing year, you might get this at budget time. And not only would you get it at budget time, you might get some context for, well, as was said by IDB, former IDB, IDB economist, oh my gosh, Lord forgive me, I'm getting young. You know, you would have heard what the potential revenue loss is and what would be the means by which the government might seek to offset those losses. You might hear context, but that's not important today. So what's important today is that voters get the sense that their government is seeking to do something for them. And so that's what you get. And so the discussion about what the revenue loss might be and how the government might make up the revenue loss and what the fiscal impact might be, all of that is extremely technically sound and appropriate, but not when you are in a political season and shoppers go on the news and say, I welcome the relief. Because that's the context. That's what you want. Okay? But that notwithstanding, there are some things that shouldn't happen. You shouldn't use students, you shouldn't use children to campaign. Now, again, somebody say, well, they had F&M chat there too. Well, send it to me. Send me the F&M chat from the school. Send me the DNA, the COI chat from the school. It says definitely the teacher told them to chat that. You think? I blame our government and all the corrupt people in it who keep fraternizing with terrorists and selling our legal documents to criminals. So that's what's happening in Barbados as well. That's what's happening in all the countries, all the 74 countries. And by the way, did you get the part about this doesn't affect tourist visas and student visas? Did you get that part? Or you missed that altogether because you need to put in a narrative? Okay, I got you. So Caribbean countries affected by the pause include Antigua and Barbuda, Bahamas, Barbados, Belize. St. Lucia is on the list. I didn't see St. Lucia, but it may well be. I might have missed it. I'm going to check again because you might have a different list than the one I have. I did not see. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Okay. St. Lucia is on the list. I did miss that. St. Lucia is on the list. When I said it, I was surprised that I was saying that. But yeah, you're right. St. Lucia is on the list. All right. Let's see. Says, good afternoon, Lang. I am disturbed by the video with the kids. The principal and the teachers involved in this should be fired. Well, I don't know about fired, but that's definitely again, without context, it looks like poor judgment. It looks like inappropriate political activity to me. I can't blame the children because they can do what the parents, they can do what they are asked to do by the adults, right? Can you imagine if any of those children have F&M parents and themselves believe that? They said, good afternoon. I feel as if they are brainwashing the kids, my opinion. I don't know. Again, context. What were they doing? What was the aim? What was the objective? It says, good day sounds like brainwashing to me. Persons who are unable to vote, chanting political rhetoric with more than likely very little understanding of the civics politics. This is a dangerous position to put our youth in. Well, I don't know about dangerous, but it is it may be inappropriate, certainly. I remember when I was a child, my mommy was PLP and child, please, PLP all the way. And we used to be, all the children who used to be around talking with the F&M, we used to be around there, oh, your symbol is the fire and fire is hell. We used to be talking all kind of stuff, you know, because that's what we were indoctrinated with from our parents. They PLP, we PLP. They F&M, we F&M, right? So children are innocent victims sometimes of, yes, our own indoctrinations and, yes, our own brainwashing and so forth. Or our own influences, you know, however noble. It says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. You are very, very clear. The person probably has interference in their system. Well, I thank you for that. It says, Mr. Lang, when writing a skit, one does not have to be 100% historically correct. Allows for the improvising as it relates to the entertainment. I agree with you 100%. That's why I ask for context. But bro, with the greatest respect to you, with the greatest respect to you, until I get a text, I don't know about that. But I agree with you. I agree with you. You could improvise. You can exaggerate, etc. That's true. So we can hear you. You can't satisfy some people. Well, you know, they are on their side, and so they're hearing what they're hearing, and so maybe that's part of it. So I know. The text says, the focus of children in school should be about education, development, and ensuring good character. What say you? It should be many things. They should understand the social, the political context in which they operate too. So there's nothing wrong with teaching children that they are F&M, the PLP, the DNA, a COI. Nothing wrong with teaching them the kind of chance that they would get and so forth. And so forth. Nothing wrong with that. And children can have their own views, persuasions on politics. If they are PLP and they want to run around the school chanting PLP, they're F&M and they want to chant F&M. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm talking about understanding the context in which a school organizes something and children are chanting. Be clear. Let me be honest with you. Well, I mean, I don't mean honest. Let me just be clear with you. I believe educators could provide me with a context for this. Because honestly, I do not believe educators would be so blatantly inappropriate in terms of partisan politics. I'd be very surprised that would actually happen, to be honest with you. So maybe we can get an explanation, right? So the video's out there, the initial reaction to it is, wow, that doesn't seem appropriate at all. And it would be great to get some context that helps us to understand why you would even do that. But, you know, until then, you know, forgive me for my and others and their speculation. This says, sir, regardless of context, children must be used at the low level. Understands. It says, Mr. Lang, I think it's really sad that any school would put children in something like that. So sad, says that texter. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Therese Turner Jones. Forgive me, Therese, for my mental block. Yes, Therese was commenting on the context of the PM's VAT reduction. And she, given her background, would clearly and say the things she said. But that those things would have little carriage for those who are seeking a political benefit from a public policy action. It says, good day, Lang. that have to be an election joke, because why would you want to drop VAT in April? Because you know in May is going to be election. That's a joke. And furthermore, the PLP met 0% VAT on food, nothing new. It can kick in April 8th. I didn't tell you all before. There's an election coming, and many things will be set against that backdrop. You know, as I listened to and read the PM speech, what amazes me with the PM speeches, many of them, I mean, I'm really, really amazed. The Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas has immense power to command data from the public service. Immense power. So the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas has every ability to say to you, when I came to office, this was where that stood, the number, the actual number. He could do that. And he could say, look at where we are today. He could give you the actual number, whether it's GDP, murder, interest rates, inflation, unemployment, tourist visits, tourist expenditure, cost of living index things. I mean, the Prime Minister can command all kinds of information. He can call ahead his people, call ahead of any organization. I need this, I need that, and that. And the Prime Minister could make you a data-backed case for his governance that could be difficult to dispute if it's positive in his favor. And it seldom happens. And it amazes me. It seldom happens. You know what I attribute that to? I attribute that to writers who are not prepared to do the work or who do not have the wherewithal to understand how to prepare that work. It's amazing to me. I mean, absolutely amazing. This Prime Minister is not the only one guilty of that. The previous Prime Minister was also guilty of that. And that's why he never talked about where murder stood when he was in office compared to the time when he was leaving office. Did not do so. You know who was very good at that? I can tell you. Yeah, you heard me. And yes, I'm going to say it. Hubert Alexander Ingram was very good at that. Exceptionally good at that. And if he asks me to get him any data, he says, Shivago, You swear by this data, because you know. And I said, PM, I did the work. Because how, listen, if we get caught up in a, I brought the economy up. Oh, I met the economy in a crisis. I did this and I did, with no metrics, with no key performance indicators. Then we can get stuck in an ever, ever stupid argument, opinionated arguments about what you did or did not do. You can't measure it. You can't really assess it. And that's what I find utterly disappointing over the years in this country by our national leaders. Cannot bring data back, evidence back, measures to substantiate the things they say in too many instances. I didn't say in all, in too many instances. For instance, if you tell me, oh, we're now feeding 1 million people. Well, how much was feeding before? We're now busing 10 people. How much was you busing before? So the data movement matters. But no, that's not what we do. And that kind of non-robust delivery, It can't cut it anymore going forward. And so those people who analyze governance in the country, well, they don't do it, you do it. I know we will. You will get the numbers here on ZLive, every single number. And you compare those numbers to other people's numbers too. You make up your mind. Who cares if it falls on the side of the FNM, PLP, DNA, COI, whoever else it is. The numbers are what the numbers are. And if they're good for somebody, not good for others, that what can you do about that? You only want to understand the truth, right? You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. Then we come back. We'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after the news break. Take a stand, everybody.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Hungry? Well, Burger King Nassau is turning up the flavor at a great price. The King Meal Deals give you big taste, value, and options for just $5.50, including that. Love that BK Flame Grill beef? Grab a Rodeo Burger Jr. served with crispy fries and a drink. Or if you like chicken, go for the Rodeo Crispy Chicken Jr. or the six-piece nugget meal, also with fries and a drink. One price, tons of choices, and flavor that hits every time. The King Meal Deals are only $5.50 at Burger King Nassau, where taste is on fire.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery charges, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5255. 267.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text is, why would a government wish to call an election before a budget date? Before? Why, what would be the problem with calling it before a budget date? Now, if you call it like, you know, Mr. Christie made this point when Ingram called election in May. Mr. Christie said, and Mr. Christie said he would not do such a thing. It was inconvenient and it was disruptive. And guess what happened? He called election. Y'all can check it out. But that was the point he made, was that, you know, calling it around election time, budget time, was a problem. But I don't see that that's going to be any issue for this administration. I could very well see election in May. Very well. You know, I could see that. Now, if you want to press the metal and provide people with a lot of gifts in the way of budget announcements, then you can call election in August or September and do budget in May, and that way you got 3 months for people to talk about. Oh, wow, you know, the government did this and the government. So that could be a truly election budget. So you could run that. You could run that play. That's possible. You know what I mean? Budget is presented in May. At the end of May, you have 2 weeks to debate it. And then it starts in July. You don't go to the election until August, September. And now you can talk about all the gifts you gave to people, the grants you provided with people and so forth. So that's a possibility as well. So if the government takes and goes right into the end of its 5-year period, I could see them looking at that play versus going in May. I thought March might be a possibility, but I don't know now. I don't know. I mean, you know, psychology is something, right? Because you could go in March with people expecting savings on VAT in April. You could go in May with people haven't started their savings in April. Wow. So who knows? When is election? I don't know. When you don't know. All we know is by October, we are likely to know who the government of the Bahamas will be. That's what we're likely to know. Other than that, I don't know. Interesting times indeed. Now, the government announced quite unceremoniously, I think, that it is and has signed a public-private partnership for the development of maritime port at Mayaguana. Okay? This development is going to provide 3,000 acres of crown land at a nominal rent. What that rent, nominal rent rate is, we do not know. As a part of the package, and that the government is going to be a 49% owner in this deal. The partnership is with a group called Global Lead Consultant Group Limited. Global Lead Consultant Group Limited. And that this port facility would have a build-out period of maybe 5 years, with nothing substantially beginning in before 18 months out, according to one of the principals involved. And that it'll involve a cruise port, among other amenities. There is an environmental assessment that has to be done, impact statement that has to be done, or impact that's going to take some time, according to one of the principals, that being Johnny Outen of Global, he's CEO of Global Lead Consultant Group Limited. So there's that group. And then there is another group name called Mayaguana Port Group, which will be owned by the government to the tune of 48%. And that there's a remaining 3% that's going to be vested in a Mayaguana Island Development Fund, which would be a nonprofit organization. And that is about as much as we know. It has a CEO is Johnny Outen. This is the CEO of the consultant group. Jonardo Hall is the financial consultant. An attorney, Owen Wells, is the group's legal consultant. And Owen Wells, as you know, is someone who has been said to be interested in running in St. James. The first phase of the project is supposed to be valued at $300 million. It should be a five-year build-out, as I indicated. And honestly, like, I cannot imagine. Listen, this is a first phase. It's $300 million. That's a first phase. So this is a hundreds and hundreds of million dollars project. Announced, the Prime Minister did a national address. And in that national address, this wasn't mentioned with any kind of prominence. We went to Grand Bahama, had a huge party. This project, listen to me now. This project, according to a release by the government, would hire 2,000 people. Listen now, this is Mayaguana now. Where you can get 2,000 people from Mayaguana? You can get them from all over the Bahamas. So this is a project of national import. And it is being announced with the level of sublimity that really piques my curiosity. PPP, what's the nature of it? Where's the funding coming from? Who are the port developers themselves? Right? As somebody's pointing out, 2,000 full-time jobs on an island with a population of 300, about 275 buildings. I mean, yes. I'm saying it's a huge project, but it seems to be the announcement seems so underwhelming. There are a lot of questions to be asked about the project. What is the project's implication for the Nassau Cruise Port? What's that? The Freeport Container Port, because this was supposed to represent opportunity for container transshipment as well. Now, the container port, in case you don't know, I suppose their advantage, they are owned by the people who use them the most, MSC and them. So, you know, or whoever else that is. I mean, I know that arrangement there, they got, you know. It's amazing. I honestly even on the politics of it, the way these things are being rolled out, I'm really surprised. Just on the politics of it, could you imagine? I want you all to imagine. Imagine that Alukaya was a deal set in stone, offering 2,000 full time jobs. 2,000 full time jobs. How would that be announced? Oh, but you know, I don't have to ask you that. You should show how it was announced. Much fanfare. It says, "Project, I smell a fish and it isn't cooked." Well, I'm not prepared to go there. I'm curious. I really am. I'm curious about what are we doing? I really am curious. Right? I'm curious. Let me tell you something. I'm curious. Says cronyism is in its fullest view. Mayaguana land gone. This is a robbery, and perhaps we'll never get off the ground. Well, it isn't a robbery because the land is being vested in a joint venture owned by the government. So I don't have any concerns about the land being stolen. The land is also being leased. So that's not really my issue at all. I don't have that issue. This is the government engaging in a joint venture, announcing this joint venture, giving limited details. Why is the profile of most of the PPPs? Most of the PPPs undertaken by the government of the Bahamas is very limited. And that's not good. That's not good governance. Okay, I believe that this administration has signed more public-private partnerships than any administrations in the history of the Bahamas. I don't know of a PPP under the Pinley administration, because PPPs are a recent development for government participation in this region. But Ingram participated in a PPP. You want to hear what it was? The airport, the construction of the new airport. And you got full disclosure on it. And how did that work out for us? Very well. How is it being funded? Fees. That's how it's being funded. The bridge was a PPP. It was a sort of PPP because it was a design build. But the revenue for the bridge funded the bridges cost and some. So Ingram did PPPs. Mr. Christie, I do not recall one. I don't recall Mr. Christie doing one, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. Dr. Menes, I don't recall one. I don't recall one. Not a PPP, unless the cruise port was a PPP. I don't know. But this administration, well, roads, parks, now dock, cruise port, tons PPPs. Details, very limited. Now, that's a fact. I am stating facts. And if somebody could prove me wrong, incorrect, please, I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to say, no, Shivagi was very dead wrong. They gave lots of information on all these PPPs. I mean, listen to me. These PPPs amount to $1 billion plus. Many of them questionable and therefore could only fall to the government of the Bahamas at the end of the day. Which means there are implications for those costs to the taxpayer. This text says, Mr. Lang, like the freedom of information, a fixed election date must be implemented. Well, I mean, if we go the direction of a fixed election date, I'm okay with that. If we don't, it really don't make no difference to me. I can be honest with you. That's just me, though. That's just me. The United States have fixed election dates, and if the election is contested, you see what happened. George Bush, Al Gore ends up in court. Donald Trump, Biden ends up with a riot on the capital of the. So it's fixed, no fixed. The UK has no fixed dates. Other countries that have this Westminster system. I think we mentioned fixed or unfixed when we just fret up and fret. This text says, if shares are involved, public shares, there should be a great concern. There ain't no public shares involved. No public share or disclosed. So all the shares are being held by government. So there's no. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, how you doing? Good?
Good. What's happening? Yeah, man.
I don't like the sort of language being used in this whole thing, you know. When you start talking about deep water port.
Which language?
Yeah. And you start talking about land use and excavation and, you know, utilities and cruise terminals. You know, an island that size and 2,000 jobs over the lifespan of the project. That's what I picked up on. Point over the lifespan of the project. That ain't one time, Mr. Lang.
What? I could be wrong. Jobs?
Over the lifespan of the project. over the lifespan.
No, that could be, you could well be right. You could well be right about that. That's not the point that I was making. Even if a project purports to produce 2,000 jobs over 25 years, for me, that's a big deal still, though. In America,
yeah. I get it. But for what they're doing?
Yeah, that's all. I'm saying, it's a massive project, and it deserves.
Yeah, but what it's coming off as, I don't think that's the intention of this project. I think that the language of this project points into more resources than mining, in my opinion. That's what I'm saying.
More resources in mining?
Yeah, basically, deep water, that stuff. It looks like argument to me.
Uh-huh.
It looks like argument to me.
Except the project's CEO said that the gold dredging must take place in order to get the depth for vessels to come in. It is not a big part of the project. He said that.
Yeah, but what happens to the stuff, the material that they're taking out of that?
Well, that's not a question. That's what I'm saying. Details. That's what I'm saying.
Right? Exactly. You know, you ain't going to miss Mr. Lang. No revenue formula, right? This project of this magnitude would require, before you don't engage these people in design deals and talking about the percentages, and you ain't even meet with any public consultation or anything, the project this size. I remember in 2012, Mr. Lang, the Honorable Vincent Van der Poel Wallace, when he had the I Group down in Iguana, remember that? The Senate report.
Yes, uh-huh.
I could be long.
Yeah.
At that particular time, I think Senator Maynard, Allison Maynard was in the Senate at that time, too. And 5,000 acres of land was returned back to the ground. Was supposedly been returned back to the government. When that particular project was amended, right?
Well, no, it wasn't returned. Okay. There was a swap, and it wasn't 5,000. It was a good sized portion of it, but there was a swap going on because what had happened was given to the I Group was essentially the best land, and it was going to leave little room for the residents to grow and develop. And so what Ingram did was renegotiate with the I Group a swap that gave them more land that could be used for the kind of purposes they wanted for the land that could be used for residential development and so forth.
I think, that's why you see where we need more information on this particular project. And they need questions to be answered. A lot of questions has to be answered, you know, because who was these people? Where are the funding coming from, like you said? You know, the people of Iguana need to dictate how they want their small island to be developed and the economy of that small island based on their resources down there. Because you talk about cruise terminal, we see what happened during the pandemic when we tried to operate cruise terminal here during the pandemic. It's a lot.
But brother,
you know, and it's a big risk.
But brother, listen to me. Listen to me a minute now. Me and you live in the Bahamas. This is a massive project.
Yeah.
Well, why would this nation in parliament fully or something?
Yes.
Especially if you have Bahamians involved, that means you should be proud that Bahamians are doing this.
Exactly. National interest. Exactly.
Absolutely.
This project just raises something. Yeah. I think it just raises a lot of questions about land ownership, you know, a long-term national benefit. And just transparency. Yeah, we can't continue to operate like this.
But again, the ownership doesn't bother me because this is a Crown land lease rental agreement in which the government has a 48% stake in the company leasing the land. So that the ownership don't bother me. The government still owns the land. The Crown still owns the land. It's just leasing it out. Now I ask you, what are the terms of the lease?
Yeah, I agree. So
those are the things we don't know. That's what's happening.
Okay, sir.
Thank you, man. I appreciate your call. Right. Appreciate it. Yeah, man. This says, "Hello, Mr. Lang. Could you please confirm if next week? or last week in this month is your financial series week. The financial series week is the last week in this month. So it's going to be Monday, January 26th to Friday, January. And we are going to, on day one, look at personal financial checkup and budgeting. The day two, we're going to do saving and investing. Day three, good credit management. Day four, financial recovery and generating multiple income streams. And five, insurance and risk management. So all of you all who you got your, like, your political appetite and you like to hear politics and you want like to be talking about this, that, and the next, that's financial, personal financial management week. You're already, I'm already telling you, that's what we're going to be focused on. So whatever comes up, I can take it up next week. Lots of people love that information and they're going to get it. And we're going to provide it for you. We have some great experts who are going to be participating and to give you that information. So stay tuned. All right, we're going to take a break, another break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
As a healthcare professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. But even with the best care, legal challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind. With medical malpractice at Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while we take care of the rest. Star General, insurance made simple.
You try to rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
It's a new year and bigger deals at Wendy's. For a limited time, receive a free apple pie with a purchase of a biggie bag. Choose from a Dave's single or chicken sandwich, junior fries, four-piece nuggets, a 20-ounce drink, and a free apple pie on us. This offer won't last long, so visit your nearest and a free apple pie today.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Bolang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust you are continuing to be well. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. Or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So I'm learning that some of the additional information related to this announcement about visas suggests that, and this is from an article saying that the guidance instructs consular officers to deny visas to applicants deemed likely to rely on public benefits, weighing a wide range of factors, including health, age, English proficiency, finances, and even potential need for long-term medical care. Older or overweight applicants could be denied, along with those who had any past use of government cash assistance or benefits. So in essence, what they're saying is, we are not going to make it easy for you to come to the United States with a visa if you are likely to end up needing the resources of the United States of America in order to take care of yourself. So if you're a tourist, they expect you to come in, you got money to go shop and do what you do and leave. If you are a student, same thing, because you have to have proven your ability to make and take care of yourself. So there you go. This text says, good day, Mr. Lang. I love to listen to your talk show. You are very unbiased with your commentary. Keep the good work. I would love to see you in politics again, as you have much to offer the country. Thank you for your text. This says, why do they need 3,000 acres to build a dock? 3,000 acres is a lot of land. No, it's not a dock. They're building a cruise port. So you know those big cruise ships? You have to be able to accommodate those big cruise ships and containers and the shipping vessels. So this is not a dock. This is a port. Huge thing, okay? This text says, hi, Mr. Lang, I see something circulating. Now, I'm not saying that they need 3,000 acres, but I'm just telling you what they are building. Hi, Mr. Lang, I see something circulating on social media about the U.S. freezing visa applications for several countries, including the Bahamas. Do you know anything? If it's true, I just talked about that. So I hope you got the information I was saying. It doesn't affect, apparently, these applicants' applications. Even though it seems weird to say to free the impression that it's every visa applicant, but it seems to be more of a screening and filtering based on potential dependency on U.S. public resources. That's what it seems to be. This text says about 35% of Bahamians have utilized those things that the Trump administration wants to block admission to. I don't think it's 35% of Bahamians. I don't think so. I don't think that at all. I don't think so. No. Not 35%. No. You ain't gonna get me to buy that. And I'm not gonna accept that unless somebody shows me that I'm confident in them. And first of all, 35% of Bahamians over what period of time and so forth? Based on what? No, not a possible chance. So there's a report. Please send it. 35% of Bahamians. 400,000 of us, and the suggestion is 40, 80, 120, almost 150,000 of us did so. Okay. All right. I don't know, but you never know. So the government of the Bahamas has a bill currently that will commence adoption of the National Development Plan. So, according to an article in the Nassau Guardian, public consultations have begun on a draft Planning Institute of the Bahamas Bill 2025, which would establish an institute and the governing board to develop and implement the Bahamas National Development Plan. It says the draft bill forms part of a national effort to strengthen long-term development planning and to ensure that public policy reflects the priorities and perspectives of the Bahamian people, says the executive director of the National Development Planning Secretariat. First of all, let me say, any effort, the adoption of the National Development Plan is a welcome development. We start with that. But let me ask you all a question. How can a government outsource a national development plan to an institute? Think about that for a moment. A national development plan is how the government will lead the country's development, meaning all of its ministries, departments, and agencies are a part of the national development. Now, I could see you having a national development department that is resident in the prime minister's office, because the prime minister being planner, an executor for the country. But it seems to me like we miss something when it comes to national development planning. Like for instance, right? I said this when the Progressive Liberal Party put the national development plan in its our plan. They treat the national development plan like a subset of their plans. How can that be? It's the national development plan. It's the master plan. It's like saying that the general architectural plans for a house is a subset of the electrical plans. No, the electrical plans is a subset of that. Everything is supposed to be in sync with the national development plan. So the national development plan should be the government's plan. Y'all want to hear something? Let me throw out this idea. When I say fantasy, I mean let me fantasy idea. How about we agree a national development plan? Remember, it was inputted by all the political sides, by many experts and so forth and so forth, had public consultation. How about we agree a national development plan and every political party, Manifesto FNM, PLP, our plan, just say, we are going to pursue rigorously the national development plan. How about that? How about that? Not we can build a dock in Wagana. We promise to build a thing. We promise to do this in the next thing. How about we just adopt the national development plan and just go in it? Right? If you want to spell out some specific things within the context of the national development plan, fine, put that in your manifesto, put that in your plan. But how about we adopt a national development plan and stick to it? You don't outsource it to an institute. You don't outsource, you can outsource the monitoring of it to an institute. You can have an institute develop KPIs and progress. And can I say that? Anyway, you can do that, but the National Development Plan isn't any little project you trying to announce to people. That's a wrong thinking of it. This is the big, big deal. It is the plan. It's the master plan. And the master plan deserves to be in hand. And that's the prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the head of government. He should wake up every morning with his team and asking the question, where are we on the press? National Development Plan. Oh, PM, we should do this. How does that fit into the National Development Plan? Oh, where we this terms project the National Development Plan. Every day for 40 years. That's national planning and execution. It's not, I'm going to give you this. I mean, think about that. I get 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people to tell the, how are they going to tell the government the budget needs to reflect the national development plan? Who could tell the Minister of Finance that? That's a cabinet determination. At the cabinet, This is the National Development Plan. Okay, where is the strategic plan in relation to this element of the National Development Plan? We're doing going into budget now. What do we need to do to fund that particular aspect of the National Development Plan? Some parts of the plan represent the private sector. Where are we on our discussions with the private sector on their delivery of things in respect to that? It's a National Development Plan. And think about how much more organized that makes the governance of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Think about it. You get to wake up every morning building a house on which you already have planned so that you know where the plumbing is supposed to go, where the electrical is supposed to go, where the framing is supposed to go, what's the foundational issues, implements that have to be put in place. You get to know this every day instead of waking up shooting from the seat of your pants. Somebody come tell you they want to build a this, that, next thing in Cat Island and this next thing, and you just go. It only sounds good if it's a component feature of the National Development Plan. And if the FNM, PLP, the DNA, and the COI are not all coming on board to say, I am going to start with the adoption of a National Development Plan, you ain't serious about National Development Planning, period. Chivago Lang said that. That don't mean you can get some things done, though. That you can get things done. You can get things done. I'm not saying you can't get things done. I'm just saying you're not serious about National Development Planning. Because National Development Planning is a coordinated, collaborative, cooperative arrangement with all the parts of the nation to achieve a vision, a set of objectives, a set of goals intended to produce that vision for the country and to make your people better off. That's what it's supposed to be. So I don't want to hear nothing but no any little small subset of this. And honestly, I can be honest, y'all. I mean, I'm saying when I hear that, I know you're not serious. I know you're not. I mean, I'm saying, well, you're not thinking about it properly. That's my own thought. If you're treating National Development Planning as a project and a subset of your stuff, it's not, to my mind, the way forward. That's just my narrow thinking. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shababu Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we will close.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Ivan Vargo Langio. I'm so glad that you can join us today for these remaining moments of the show. So someone who told me that 35% of Bahamians are using or calling on the social services of the United States of America sent me Donald Trump's posted list, where he does have Bahamas, yes, countries and percentage of immigrant households receiving assistance, and the Bahamas has 35%. So that's not, so you can't say, you can't, if you want to read that properly, you can't say, listen, you can't say 35% of Bahamians have utilized those things. That's, you can't say that. Now you have corrected it by saying 35% of Bahamians who enter the U.S. lying, not 35% of the population. That too is not a correct reading. That's not true. What that's saying is, of the immigrants who live in the United States of America who are of Bahamian origin, 35% of them have called upon the U.S. Resources, meaning 65% of the Bahamians who do that do not. That's what that's saying. That's not 35%. Most of them, we live here. Right? So you can't say it the way that it has been said. And that's the thing about statistics. We have to read statistics properly, convey the message properly that the statistics are intended to convey. What Mr. Donald Trump is saying is, when we look at the persons who are residing in the Bahamas, who are immigrants, those who are of Bhutan origin, 81% plus of them call on our resources. Now, guess what? There may only be 10,000 Bhutanese in the United States, though. And then he's saying 35% of Bahamians. But there might only be 30, 40, 50,000 Bahamians there. I don't know. But that's what that's saying. That's not saying 35% of Bahamians. And that's all I'm saying. And I don't need clarification on that because I can see what the man is saying. This text says, good afternoon, the Mayaguana development, could it be another Freeport Harbor, good limestone, investors coming in to mine our natural resources? Yeah, but why are you asking terms associated with this project so far? Abanians. So are you saying to me, are you asking me, are they fronting? Are you asking me, are they fronting? Now, they may get financing from foreigners or something like that. But the project CEO and those have said that this is not largely about the dredging of the harbor for material. So until I get more information, that's what I know. That's what I know. I'm not assuming this is some land grab by foreigners because the land isn't even being sold. So this text says, so this is container port or a place to park cruise ships registered in the Bahamas. No, this is a port. And at a port, you can receive cruise ships, you can receive other vessels, because it depends on what all activities are being done at the port. The transformation unit is a planning unit. It's strange. Yeah. I just want us to get it. I just want us to think through it properly so that we can get it right. Pursuing the National Development Plan, first class, yes. But national development planning and execution belongs properly to the government. My God, that's a government function. That's an executive of the government function. That is a cabinet function. The cabinet is supported by agencies and so forth, but it is a cabinet function. Okay? So I can't read some note that says, let me tell you what, so what this is what, according to National Guardian, I don't want to read a note that says the draft bill forms part of a national effort. And this is a quote in The Guardian from the director of the NDP Secretariat. The draft bill forms part of the national effort, part of the national effort to strengthen long-term development planning and to ensure that public policy reflects the priorities and perspectives of the Bahamian people. That's the role of the Cabinet of the Bahamas, to ensure. That's the role of the Cabinet of the Bahamas. That is its role. Its role is to ensure those things. That's its role. That's the whole role of the Cabinet of the Bahamas, to have general direction and control of the government. Policy reflects the priorities and perspectives of the Bahamian people. That's what the National Development Plan did when it went and consulted. It went and said, what are the priorities and perspectives? Boom, it's right here now. Go pursue them. That's what it is. You know, search no more. You have a plan. You have a draft plan. Go, if you want to finish it and adopt it. Once it's done, you don't have a contractor going in there and trying to build according to, well, we need to hear back from you more and so forth. No, he can build what's on the plan. And then if something happens or the owner says, you know, I want you, then fine. But that's the role of the cabinet, assisted by agencies of the government. But that's the role of the cabinet. That's the role. I'm saying, listen, let's get serious. Listen to me, please. It's Shivago Lang. Listen, what y'all ever want to do with me? Good, bad, or ugly? Carry on. Carry on. This country has educated me, given me opportunities to be educated and have experience in lots of things. I'm saying, let's stop doing the shallow politics of life. Because what is at stake to get us to the place where we will all be more proud of us in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? Seriousness. Listen, man, don't be busy. Be effective. Don't be busy. Don't mind these people rushing you, trying to pressure you to do things because that's how you get a vote. Let's do serious things that might require us to slow down, get it right, because at the end of the day, maybe we and our children and our children's children will look back and said, at that time, they changed the fortune of all of us. That's what it takes. We need to have a prime minister and cabinet wake up in the morning saying, oh, okay, my role in the execution of this plan is this, and that. Now, let me plan and organize for the execution of this, and that. Invitation to go speak at this. Who telling you, oh, they trying to get a little bit of this and this contract and all that? That's what you spend your time doing? Your work is a heavy work of driving a whole country in the direction of a vision that makes us all better off. That's the job. That's the job. I promise you, that's the job. I can tell you one thing. If I were the prime minister, that's what I'd be doing. That's what I'd be waking up every morning, looking at the National Development Plan, mapped out on the wall of my office, mapped out, graphically mapped out, and asking myself every day, what can you do now today to get that to happen? That's what a rare leader does. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us today. God's best life. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great, great day. Afternoon.